Hundreds of people jammed a community meeting last night in the town of Jackson. Its residents want to know how the pipeline company is going to handle the well water and health concerns that have erupted after a gasoline line ruptured in the town northwest of Milwaukee. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Betts is here with me in the studio this morning and attended last night's public meeting. Good morning, Susan.
Hi, Bob.
Now, how many folks there? About 800, you said?
Apparently even more. It was just jammed, as you said. The topic, of course, is this really awful spill that happened in Jackson. It was on the 17th of July, and this is a pipeline that runs from Chicago to Green Bay. It carries gasoline and diesel. They shift what that load carries. When that occurred, apparently the spot was located in Jackson on the 18th. That next day, they removed an 8-foot section of the pipe that had ruptured, cleaned out the area, obviously removed the pipe itself and replaced it, and things started rolling again. As soon as they could, the company says they started testing wells. One of the people that you might want to know about is Carl Schiefelbein. He lives a mile away from the spill, so he's not in the immediate area that people were most concerned about. He said he didn't learn about the spill until days afterwards. He doesn't think that that's unusual. He thinks that's the case for many people.
You know, and it's not just your drinking water in your wells. You're wondering about the runoff getting into the creeks and flowing into the other streams. I mean, that can affect a lot bigger area than this.
Now, Susan, who represented the pipeline company at the meeting last night?
Well, Patrick Hodgson was the main voice, and he bore the brunt of the crowd's concerns. They were shouting out, test my well and move faster, be proactive. But Hodgson is the safety, security, and environmental director for a Buckeye pipeline company, which is the group that operates this pipeline for West Shore. He immediately gave this progress report that I referred to before. It says, we are being proactive. He gave a toll-free number for people to call with claims. And wanted them to take advantage of that. Then I think this really took people by surprise. Not only were they issuing just yesterday a drinking water advisory, but also a flush-only advisory for the most immediate area affected or they think is affected. But then Hodgson said that people in that smaller area could actually go to a hotel last night and they would pick up the tab.
For those homes, we have identified a total of 43 homes in the flush-only area. So those homeowners, we have hotel rooms available immediately tonight.
That brought an eruption, Bob, you can imagine, because many people knew nothing about this. One of the people in the crowd, and it's hard to hear it because the audio wasn't too great there, but he's saying, what if people in that area, those 43 homes, were not at that session last night? How are they going to find out about this?
Would they have had to be here tonight? Because we are not aware of any of that until just right now. I believe that you should be going door to door to everybody in that green area and telling them not to stay ahead with you.
So the company representative, Patrick Hodgson, responded that they would be going door to door, but they hoped that last night many of those homeowners would be there and they could take care of it.
Now, what happened after the formal presentation then by the company?
Well, people did line up, many to pick up bottled waters. Big cases of bottled water were distributed. The company made it clear that they would make water available for people's consumption, for pets and livestock. Exactly how they'll do that, who knows? I'm not sure, how many people took them up on the hotel room, but a lot of people lined up. Gary Kennan is on the evacuation list, but he said that he doesn't plan on taking advantage of that. He calls himself a realist.
I mean, that thing happened on the 17th, and you see all the trucks, and you really didn't know. Yeah, could that have been better? Could we have found out, you know, more than, you know, 2 weeks later? Yeah. But since we found out and since people have been stopping by, we've been getting information. This was helpful. In the news media, for what it was worth, brought it to our attention more than anything.
Kurt Henning, Bob, was another fellow who was queued up. He had water bottles in his arms, and he's not right in that immediate spill area, so he's not in the evacuation zone. But he wants his well tested, as so many people do, as soon as possible. He's lived in Jackson 22 years. He built his home, and you could read the concern on his face. He says he worries about long-term health impacts and property values.
And I know some people that built, beautiful houses in that area, friends of ours. We all go to David Starr Church, and we're all affected. What's going to happen to all the, to those values of the property? Our church will probably be empty.
Well, that is a compelling message, isn't it, Susan?
It really is, Bob. Henning is just one of the people really concerned about their futures. And I caught up with Mr. Schiefelbein, the fellow that I first talked to. He said he didn't plan on waiting for the company to get his water tested or take advantage of their toll-free number. He's going to get his well tested himself as soon as he can.
Thank you for the update, Susan. Susan Bentz in the studio with us this morning. And by the way, there were representatives from Wisconsin's DNR and other state agencies on hand last night. When you come back at 8:30, maybe you can give us details on that.
We'll do that.
Very good.